Fox, inside low left, Eric Williams. Stockton steals. There it is. Stockton stole the ball. Stockton stole the ball. He's the all-time leader in the history of the game. 2,311. Stockton left to right. Over to Carmelo. 50 foot of the base. Yes. Stockton the ball. Stockton with the ball, front court left. He looks to Carmelo. He's got him low. The mailman jumps it. Shot up. It's in. He did it. He did it. John Stockton to Carmelo. John Stockton with 11 assists. They're on their feet. A new NBA assist king.
Russell will inbound at half court.
Uh-oh.
Stockton, open three. Hit it! John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals.
Welcome into the third and final installment of the Utah Jazz season prediction, name change pending. This is your host, Brian Preece. Find me on Twitter at bpreece24. That's at bpreece24. You can also find Name Change Pending on Instagram at namechangepending24 and on Facebook. Just search for Name Change Pending. Today we're going to do, as I said, the final installment of our Jazz season preview. We'll talk about the Jazz lineups. We're going to look at their bench play, what they can expect from additional spacing on the floor this season, and then I'll wrap it up with my personal predictions this year. So to get started off, I think the Jazz have a potential 7 or 8 starters this season. My predicted starting five might have a surprise in there. Point guard Mike Conley, shooting guard Donovan Mitchell, and then at small forward, I've got Royce O'Neal starting a majority of the games this season for the Jazz. At power forward, I think Bojan Bogdanovic is going to get a majority of those starts. And then, of course, at center, Rudy Gobert. A couple other potential starters for the Jazz is free agent acquisition Jeff Green going into his 12th season in the league. And then we've also got fan favorite small forward Joe Ingles that I expect to get some starts, but primarily probably come off the bench this year. With the Jazz, something fans can look for that is a little bit out of the norm from what they've seen in years past with Quinn Snyder is the load management is something that's going to become a thing with the Jazz this year, especially with older players, incoming guys like Mike Conley, Ed Davis probably going to deal with some load management. Joe Ingles will as well, I believe. And I could see Conley, assuming his health, he's going to start 60 to 65 games for the Jazz this season and sit 15 to 17 games or so, like I said, assuming health. When Conley sits, I see Donovan Mitchell sliding over to the point guard position, or possibly Emmanuel Mudiay starting if he shows the growth that the Jazz franchise is hoping he can do with his length and athleticism. If they can just work with him on effort level and making the right decisions on the floor, Emmanuel Mudiay could be a big piece for the Jazz this season. As far as Joe Ingles goes, I think he could start or come off the bench, but out of respect for Joe Ingles and what he's done with the franchise, I think that Quinn Snyder is going to go to Joe and ask him what he would prefer to do, but Joe's expressed a willingness in the past to come off the bench if that's something that's going to help the team, and that's why I think that it's more likely to see him coming off the bench with Royce O'Neal starting, because O'Neal can be so effective defensively, and he's shown a lot of growth offensively as well. In camp this year, one of the common themes has been positional versatility. Pretty much every player that we've spoken with has talked about the Jazz having that versatility, especially in the front court, like the 2 through 4 positions. A lot of guys can move around and kind of focusing on positionless basketball. Royce O'Neal, he can defend the 1 through 4 positions, and really he could emerge as an offensive threat this season as well. Got a quick sound clip here of Donovan Mitchell talking about his chemistry with Royce O'Neal. We'll cut to that.
I think, you know, from him, obviously we all know his defensive abilities, but offensively he's really become a player in that way. A guy who can make plays, make reads, and it's all coming. It's all, I think for us, you know, obviously coming in at the same time, we kind of have that bond where it's like, all right, we know. All right, look, this is kind of coming. We know the play. We know exactly where to be. We know what's going to be open. We know how. And it's funny because, like, some of the guys don't know what we're doing. So, like, we kind of exploit that a little bit during practice. But, like, just being able to know that, because on the game time, they're not going to really know what's coming. So, being able to do that, I think we're kind of on the same wavelength as far as that goes. And he's done a lot to improve his offensive game.
Then we've got Jeff Green. He's a free agent the Jazz signed from the Washington Wizards last season. He's got 1 through 5 flexibility, depending on who you ask. We saw in the preseason game against Adelaide where he got a defensive rebound and took off down the floor, was able to initiate the offense. He's an athletic, difficult matchup for a lot of players, especially at the power forward and center position. So he's going to have a big role to play with the Jazz this year. We've got Dante Exum. He's going to be asked to defend point guard through small forward positions regularly. And then occasionally, they've talked about him even defending the power forward position as matchups will allow. So that'll be something to keep an eye on with Jazz fans. Bojan Bogdanović, this is my favorite Jazz acquisition this offseason. I scouted Bojan. If you'd listened to the previous podcasts, I'm really high on this Bojan Bogdanović character. He can play the small forward or power forward positions. And if Quinn wants to lighten the defensive burden on Bogdanović, we could see Jeff Green starting against some of the opponents like the Spurs that have a big starting lineup with Jakob Poeltl and LaMarcus Aldridge. Some of those other big front lines, the Indiana Pacers come to mind with that. But Bogdanović, I think, is going to be a huge addition for this Jazz team. We'll get more in depth on what he brings as far as a shooter and a playmaker. And then on that positional versatility theme, we've also got George Niang, a guy coming back with the Jazz. He's able to stretch the floor. He can take advantage of some of the mismatches at both forward positions and even match up at center occasionally if he needs to. He can handle the ball a little bit. And then depending on matchup, depending on who they're playing, like I said, I really see the Jazz having multiple starting lineups. But I think more important than the starting lineup is what the closing lineup is going to look like. When the Jazz are in a tight game, what five guys can we expect to see on the floor most often? And that's where I think you switch from Royce O'Neal. Again, this depends on matchups, but that's where you switch from Royce O'Neal to Joe Ingles. So closing five, I see Mike Conley at the point guard, Donovan Mitchell playing the shooting guard position. Small forward, I've got Joe Ingles coming in and playing those final 3 or 4 minutes. Bojan Bogdanović at the power forward position to space the floor, and then Rudy Gobert at center. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to look at the Jazz bench and what fans can expect to see coming off of the bench, whether the Jazz are going to have the depth that they have in previous seasons.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Name Change Pending. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Name Change Pending and subscribe to get the newest episodes of the podcast and to check out photos of hosts Josh Keel, Tommy Girone, and Brian Preece as we travel the continent to do what we love, watch sports. Also, I know you've got a lot going on today, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your busy schedule to give the podcast a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice, we would greatly appreciate it. Those algorithms can be tricky, and all I know is that 5-star ratings jump us up the lists. So thanks for tuning in, and now back to the show.
Welcome back. This is your host, Brian Preece. We're talking about the Utah Jazz, and this is our final installment of the 2019-20 season preview. Now we'll take a look at their bench play. So last year, Jazz fans remember that where the offense was going to come from each night from the bench was a huge question mark. And this year, I look at the depth of this team offensively especially, and they should have a lot more options going into this season. You can look for Bojan Bogdanović to play a role similar to what Joe Ingles did last year, facilitating with that second unit, handling the ball a lot. I also expect Joe Ingles to be doing that, especially if he's going to be coming off the bench. He's going to be a primary option with that bench unit. And really, in general, the Jazz depth allows them to stagger lineups in a way that they haven't been able to in previous seasons. I'll talk about that more as we go on. At point guard, the Jazz signed Emmanuel Mudiay. He was a lottery pick with the Denver Nuggets in 2015. I think that he's going to earn the primary role as a backup to Mike Conley. He's been dealing with some hamstring soreness through training camp this year, but I believe if he can really tap into that length and athleticism and defensive potential, he should be the backup point guard for the Jazz this year. His struggles really are my only concern about depth as far as the Jazz go. If Mudiay struggles to pick up the Jazz system or if he's ineffective defensively, then fans can look for Donovan Mitchell to play a lot more minutes at the point guard position, a role that he's seen time in the past couple of years, and I think he'll be more effective in this season. But the problem with that is that it would decrease his on-court time with Mike Conley. I think Conley and Donovan Mitchell could be a dynamic duo if they play a lot of minutes together. So I'd prefer to see Donovan at the shooting guard rather than sliding over to point guard. The 2 through 4 positions are going to vary a lot all season. I expect to see at least 2 of Royce O'Neal, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, and Bojan Bogdanović on the floor at pretty much all times. I've got a quick soundbite of George Niang talking about the Jazz and their effort to move to positionless basketball and follow the rest of the NBA.
Yeah, you know, the kind of way we're rotating through things right now is, you know, kind of like positionless basketball, the way we're playing. Obviously, we had two guys that played the majority of the minutes at the four last year. This year, it's kind of who knows what. I mean, it's just going to go from night to night, matchup to matchup, and who's ever playing well. Obviously, Bojan and Joe and Royce, I think, are going to take the bulk of the minutes at those spots. So it's just a matter of getting in where you fit in, and when you get the opportunity, making plays.
When we look at Jeff Green, Green's going to be the primary backup at power forward, but the Jazz depth is going to allow Quinn Snyder the opportunity to play others when Jeff Green isn't feeling it. Green, I say feeling it, and I'm not trying to take a shot at Jeff Green, but he's been an inconsistent player throughout his career. When he's on, he's a great player, and he can bring a lot of athleticism and playmaking from the four position that the Jazz haven't had in the past. But he's also been known to come out and put up some clunkers. If he comes out, misses a few shots, he doesn't look like his head is in the game. Quinn Snyder has the ability to put other guys in at the power forward position and get better effort on the floor. Fans can also look for George Niang to get minutes at the three and four positions, but mostly the four. Then Ed Davis is going to get a bulk of the backup minutes at center. Tony Bradley is going to fill the third center role vacated by Epe Udo and his book club. As a third center, I feel pretty good about Tony Bradley, but if he's forced to play significant minutes due to injuries in front of him, God forbid to Rudy Gobert or even Ed Davis missing some time, I got some concerns about Bradley's athleticism. Watching the Adelaide game in the Jazz first preseason contest, Bradley put up good numbers, but I didn't see great athleticism. I didn't see good jumping ability from him. And I wonder if some good coaches around the league are going to be able to expose Tony Bradley if he plays more than a few minutes a night. Defensively, in general, I'm not as worried as a lot of fans are about the drop-off after trading Derek Favors to the New Orleans Pelicans. Ed Davis comes in. He's a terrific defender and an excellent rebounder on both ends of the floor. Last year, he averaged 17.3 rebounds per 36 minutes. So he only playing, you know, 15, 18 minutes a night probably, but in 36 minutes, he averaged 17.3 rebounds, which is an incredible number. Where the Jazz might suffer a little bit defensively is Davis isn't much of a shot blocker. He blocks less than a shot per 36 minutes, while Derek Favors sent back 2.2 shots per 36 minutes. We've got a quote here from Rudy Gobert about Ed Davis and the energy he brings to the team.
First of all, I love his toughness. You know, he's relentless, he doesn't stop, and he likes to win. You know, he's a competitor, and you know, when you have a guy like that on your team, it can only be a positive thing.
What does he do that makes him such a good rebounder?
He just wants it. You know, rebound is, you know, it's, of course, you gotta be tall, you gotta be strong, but you just gotta want it more, and you know, he wants it. You know, and if you don't box him out, or even if you try to box him out, he's gonna be, you know, try to tip it in or tip it out, and you know, he's always hustling for the ball.
As we continue looking at the Jazz bench, we've got Dante Exum and Mia Oney they're going to be wild cards coming off the bench. They both offer great positional versatility, and if they can earn minutes, they're going to give Quinn Snyder a lot of additional options. The question with Dante Exum, as Jazz fans know well, is can he stay healthy? The Jazz are so far in camp handling him with what I like to call kid gloves. He hasn't been getting a lot of run in five-on-five. For media availability, he's been doing a lot of individual drills, focusing on balance and core strength, things like that. And he's scheduled to miss the Jazz preseason game tonight against Milwaukee. He didn't play in the game against the Australian team, Adelaide. Talking to some of the guys in camp, it sounds like Exum might not be quite ready for when the season starts. They're focusing on having him available for the playoffs. We've got a soundbite here from Quinn Snyder talking about Dante Exum and the way he's battled through injuries throughout his career.
Well, you know, I think it's important to kind of know that we know who Dante is and the things he can do. You know, just be patient with him, and you know, as he starts playing, starts playing, well, he'll do more and more things. That's what you saw in January. You know, the game he got hurt. You know, he's got great speed, you know, with the ball. His size defensively is a factor. He he's going to continue to improve in a lot of ways. Looking forward to having him, you know, be ready to contribute.
You've watched him miss a lot of time, but sure. Still having to work so hard to get back.
Yeah.
Do you like the way he's competed in that work away from the floor that we all don't see?
Yeah, I mean, he's committed. He's a committed player, and he's been that. You know, I think, you know, when you come into the league at 19, there's a lot to learn. And, you know, regardless of injury or not, there's a learning curve. And, you know, sometimes there's things you take from adversity. And you really, you know, would never wish that on anyone, but I think he's embraced his path as best he can. And, I just don't want there to be a definitive, you know, it's easy for us to, you know, to make kind of assessments and assumptions. We'll all do that. I'll do that. You got to do this, you got to do that. But the biggest thing for Dante is it's going to just take time for him. You know, it happened last year. You know, I mean, Tony just mentioned, you know, December and January. So, you know, he may come out and, you know, hit the ground running. I know he's going to do that competitively, and he's, you know, but it's also, you know, a process for a player that, you know, has been out for a while to try to find their groove. And we know that. Look forward to him having an opportunity to do that, compete, and be healthy.
As far as Mia Oney goes, he's the 58th pick out of Yale last year. The Jazz really seem to like his athleticism, shooting, and effort. He's probably not going to play a lot, especially at the beginning of the year, barring injury or foul trouble, but he does seem like someone who's going to be able to play that point guard, shooting guard, or small forward positions at times. Jazz fans can expect that 15th roster spot to be decided between Stanton Kidd and William Howard, two guys they brought into training camp on partially guaranteed deals. Kidd is someone the Jazz have looked at for several seasons. We're unable to bring him over due to an onerous European contract last year. William Howard is a guy they were scouting someone else in France and saw William Howard and thought it would be worth taking a look at him. Watching him in practice a little bit, William Howard has a very smooth shooting stroke. He shoots an easy three ball. And then the Jazz other two rookies, Jarrell Brantley and Justin Wright Foreman, they signed two-way deals with the team. So I expect them to spend most of their season with the G League affiliate Salt Lake Stars. We'll take a quick break, and then we return. We'll talk about the additional spacing Jazz fans can expect and how that's going to impact the team offensively. We appreciate you joining us on Name Change Pending today. Make sure and jump on Twitter. Follow your hosts Brian Priest at BPriest24, Tommy Girone at Ruthless_Lupe, and Josh Keel at Rise and Shout. Also, we know that you're busy, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your day and give us a 5-star rating on your podcatcher of choice, that would be so amazing. Help us move up those algorithms. I don't totally understand how they work, but I know with some 5-star ratings, the podcast shows up higher on the lists. And we want to help other people find the show, don't we? Doesn't really matter what you say for us. Maybe suggest some new verses for Ruthless Lupe. But thanks again for joining us, and stay tuned for more episodes of Name Change Pending. Welcome back to the third and final installment of our Utah Jazz 2019-20 season preview. So far today, we've talked about some of the lineups that Jazz fans can expect to see on the floor. And then we've looked at the bench for the Jazz and whether or not they have the depth to match up with what they had the last couple of seasons. Up next, we're going to take a look at spacing and see how some of the shooters the Jazz brought in this year may have an impact on returning players such as Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. For Jazz fans that are sad to see Derek Favors and or Jay Crowder with other teams and are worried about the Jazz bench depth this season, my advice is don't be. I've got a clip here of Donovan Mitchell talking about what he's seen through the first week of training camp from some of the returning players and also the new guys that the Jazz have been able to bring in.
Yeah, first of all, I didn't know B.A. was that athletic. for starters, I did not know that. You know, Bojan's been coming along. Royce has been phenomenal on both sides of the ball. Joe's still old.
come on.
Rudy's been really good. I think the real thing that really helped was me seeing Rudy in a different element, you know, kind of understanding, you know, how he wants the ball, how, like, because I watched a lot of the France games and how, you know, how they fed him the ball, where they got him the ball, when they didn't, how they approached him, and, like, stuff like that, I think is one thing that's really helped. But I would say Royce for sure has been a guy who's really picked it up.
So earlier this week on Locked On Jazz, David Locke, he's the Jazz radio play-by-play man, shared some great stats and insight about the Jazz offense with Derek Favors and Jay Crowder on the floor. To summarize his points, the Jazz offense, when Gobert was the only big on the court, was in the top 15% of lineups league-wide, and that was without a lot of great shooters around him, something which should be different this year for the most part. That average dropped to league average with Favors as the only big on the floor, and then well below league average. I believe it was in the bottom 20% with Derek Favors and Jay Crowder on the floor together. So replacing Derek Favors and Jay Crowder, or a large portion of their minutes, is Bojan Bogdanović, Royce O'Neal, George Niang, and free agent acquisition Jeff Green. So those guys are going to make a huge difference for a lot of players on this Jazz team. Last year, Derek Favors did shoot 71% at the rim, but he was an abysmal 20.4% from the three-point line. Jay Crowder shot 33.1% on three-point field goals with 6.5 attempts per game. That left him with an effective field goal percentage under 50%. For the effective field goal percentage stat, I'll cover that really quick. Effective field goal percentage means that a made three-point shot is worth 1.5 times as much as a made two-pointer. So a player who shoots 4 for 10 on all two-point baskets has a standard field goal percentage of 40% and an effective field goal percentage of 40%. But if those 4 out of 10 shots were all three-pointers, that player's effective field goal percentage is 60%. And that just reflects the extra value of a made three. So as I go through this, you're going to hear a lot about effective field goal percentage. That's what it means. The threat of four shooters on the floor at all times is going to increase the interior effectiveness of a guy like Rudy Gobert. Last season, Gobert set the league record for most dunks in a year, and that should be a scary thought for opponents, thinking that they're going to have guys like Bojan Bogdanović and Joe Ingles in the corners that they have to defend. Donovan Mitchell's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. Mike Conley's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. That pick and roll is going to be deadly for the Jazz this upcoming season, I think. I've got a clip here, Rudy Gobert talking about the spacing that he's seen in practice so far this training camp.
I think it's put a lot of pressure on the rim, you know, and I think it's going to be very tough for teams to guard us. You know, if we play unselfishly and we put a lot of pressure on the rim, you know, it's, with the shooters we have, with the passers we have, you know, and the talent we have.
Bojan Bogdanović is a guy I've mentioned several times. He's someone that I'm huge on. I was really hoping the Jazz would make a play for him in free agency, and after that, it sounds like their primary free agent target Nikola Mirotic ended up signing in Europe. They pursued Bogdanović and signed him to a 4-year, $70+ million deal. I think Bogdanović is fantastic. He's going to be perfect for this lineup on both offense and defense, honestly. He's going to eat up a lot of those power forward minutes that Derek Favors was using last year. Last season, Bogdanović made 164 three-pointers on 386 attempts. So that equates to a 42.5% three-point field goal percentage with 57% effective field goal percentage. Bojan shot 55.1% from the left corner three. That's an 82.6 effective field goal percentage, which is off the charts. And then he shot 44.9%, 67.3 effective field goal percentage from the right corner. So both corners, Bogdanović is deadly, and defenses are going to regret leaving him if they drop a defender to help with the Rudy Gobert pick and roll. I've got another clip from Donovan here talking about Bojan and his exploits in practice.
I told him, I make the joke, I said, you just shoot 90% from the three. Like, he doesn't miss. You know, that's one thing that, you know, when I'm in transition, that's like the first guy I'm looking for, him and Joe. You know, just finding ways to just find those guys. Because, you know, you see those guys, the defense spreads. You know, maybe the next time I'm driving, you know, or Mike's driving, or Rudy's opening the lane. So it's having a guy like him and the way he approaches the game. And another international player who plays the international and the European approach as far as the schemes go, which really, you know, makes things really easy when you start going off slipping screens and, you know, whether it's little things like circling behind, like little things like that. I think having that, being able to take that from him, I think it would help me, but also it helps that he's kind of in the system of Quinn Conley's line and essentially slipping
the ball. Have there been any components to his game that surprised you other than just the shoot?
He's taking a role play. It's been great. You know, I didn't realize how well the pick and roll. I think he's obviously, we all knew that. He took over Indiana when Vic obviously got hurt, but, you know, he's very composed, very poised as far as getting into the lane. He's very efficient in the lane.
And Jazz fans are very familiar with Joe Ingles. He shot 54.4% from the left corner three last season. That was 81.6% effective field goal percentage. Think about that. The Jazz have two guys shooting over 80% effective field goal percentage from that right corner three. And Ingles also shot 39.8% from the right corner, which came to a 59.6% effective field goal percentage. Free agent acquisition, Jeff Green, is inconsistent, but he offers an improved shooting touch over Derek Favors, a much improved shooting touch over Derek Favors. Last year, Jeff Green shot 34.5% from the three-point line in Washington. That was a 55.5% effective field goal percentage. It's a slight decrease from Favors overall as effective field goal percentage, but the increased shooting will add to that spacing that we've been talking about, and it's going to increase effectiveness for all players near the basket. Another spacing benefit the Jazz should see this year is a guy like Donovan Mitchell. When he would drive to the basket last season, I personally remember multiple times where he would try and drive to the basket, and two and three players would collapse on him, making it very difficult for him to get to the basket. And defenses just aren't going to have the option to collapse on Donovan Mitchell like they did last year. It's going to be a lot more of a pick your poison rather than defenses could just leave non-shooters Ricky Rubio and Jay Crowder open, Derek Favors open in the corners. Defenses didn't fear those guys. But this year, the Jazz have a lot more options as far as shooters, and then they also have several players that can handle the ball and initiate the offense. I mean, short of Rudy Gobert and Ed Davis, Tony Bradley, all three centers, pretty much everybody in the Jazz roster can handle the ball and at least get a rebound and bring it up the floor. But they've got several guys that can initiate the offense as they do that. We've got, obviously, point guard Mike Conley. Donovan Mitchell has shown an ability to do that. Emmanuel Mudiay earning playing time will be a huge point of progress for the Jazz and give them a chance to have more ball handlers. Joe Ingles, Bojan Bogdanovic, two guys I've spoken about previously. Jeff Green, we've already seen his versatility. And then Nigel Williams-Goss has come back. There's more. Almost everybody on this roster can handle the basketball. So I'll take one last break, and then when I come back, I'm going to give you my predictions on what the Jazz are going to do this season. Welcome back to Name Change Pending. This is going to be the last segment of our final three-part installment of the Utah Jazz season prediction for the 2019-20 season. We've talked about lineups Jazz fans can look to see on the floor with the team. We've looked at the spacing with the shooters added in free agency this offseason. And we've also taken an in-depth look at the Jazz bench and the guys that Coach Quinn Snyder has a chance to work with. Now I'm going to jump into some of my personal predictions for this upcoming season. And since I'm covering the team professionally for Cumulus Media, I'm not going to make any overall win-loss predictions or anything like that, but the tail end of this, you'll get kind of a hint about the confidence I feel in this team. So a common theme from everyone in training camp has been versatility. It's been positionless, egoless basketball and the ability to move pieces around depending on what they're facing each night in and out of the NBA season. I've heard in the interviews we've done post-practice with Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Bojan Bogdanovic, George Niang, Jeff Green, Quinn Snyder have all talked about that positionless, egoless basketball and the versatility that's important in the NBA these days. I personally believe that the Jazz are going to be significantly improved over last season. They could and probably should be a top five offense with the incoming talent of guys like Mike Conley, acquired in a trade from the Memphis Grizzlies, Bojan Bogdanovic from the Indiana Pacers, Jeff Green from the Washington Wizards, and the projected growth of returning players like Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, and Rudy Gobert. I look for the Jazz to have at least two All-Stars on this year's team. The most likely guys are going to be Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, of course. Gobert has missed the All-Star game the last 2 years. He's the only player in NBA history to make an All-NBA team and not make the All-Star team. He's done that twice now. I wouldn't predict this, but if the Jazz can get out to a hot start, similar to the 2014-15 Atlanta Hawks, I think Mike Conley and Bojan Bogdanovic can also challenge for All-Star nods with this team. But like I said, I'm not going to predict that. That was probably a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing that the Hawks starting lineup saw that year. Defensively, Rudy Gobert returns as the two-time defending Defensive Player of the Year. To me, it's unlikely that he takes a step back this year, barring injury. Royce O'Neal is going to take a step forward and take on the primary role of defending the opponent's best perimeter player night in and night out. And a healthy Dante Exum could make a big difference defensively for the Jazz as well, with his length and quickness on the perimeter. Donovan Mitchell spoken about slowing down and using his length and athleticism more effectively on defense. And I think that the Jazz perimeter defense is going to be a lot better this year. While their defense at the basket, especially when Rudy Gobert is off the floor, may take a slight step back, but probably not enough to be very noticeable. if this team can end up as a top five offensive unit and a top 10 defensive team, the Jazz are going to challenge for the top seed in the West and home court advantage throughout the playoffs. They've got a lot of tough teams that they have to face. The Jazz are going to be competing with the top-seeded Golden State Warriors from last season, who might take a step back due to injuries, but by the end of the season should be healthy. Got the Denver Nuggets returning most of their starters. The Portland Trail Blazers made some big acquisitions this offseason. The Houston Rockets with their Russell Westbrook trade acquisition could be a difficult opponent for the Jazz. Look for the Thunder to fall off a little bit. The San Antonio Spurs, the Los Angeles Clippers could make a huge jump forward. The Los Angeles Lakers as well with their acquisition of Anthony Davis. The Sacramento Kings and De'Aaron Fox could do some things. The Dallas Mavericks and New Orleans Pelicans are two teams not to be sneezed at this year. And then even the Minnesota Timberwolves have a lot of talent on that roster, if underachieving talent so far. So, while I do expect the Jazz to contend for the top spot in the Western Conference, it's going to be a tough run all season, and one or two games here or there could make a huge difference in that. If everything goes right for the Jazz, I feel like they could be the cream of the crop in the Western Conference. With the way Justin Zanuck and Dennis Lindsay have built this roster, I think the Jazz have depth, and they've got the ability to withstand most injuries and or ineffective play. If guys like Jeff Green or Emmanuel Mudiay struggle one night, then Coach Quinn Snyder, he's not going to be forced to play them. He's got options and versatility at every position on the roster. As far as what I think could happen this year, let me put it this way. Jazz fans haven't seen a team play into June since the John Stockton and Karl Malone-led 1998 team fell to Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. Anybody over the age of 30 probably remembers that loss. It was a tough year, but a lot of fun to watch as well. This may be the season in which Jazz fans finally get to see basketball into the summer. On that note, I'll close this with a quote from Jeff Green, and thank you for joining Name Change Pending.
Winning a championship.
Other than that, anything else? No. Any goals that you have?
No. Winning a championship, that's the main goal. I don't personally make individual goals. I know this is a team sport. I look forward to winning a championship, and that's the ultimate goal.